Tonight, with a couple words of Torah and Chizuk.
A little clapping.
I should stand behind John.
A little clapping.
Oh. Good evening, everyone. Men, women, welcome to this beautiful class. It's only my second time here, but it's really a pleasure being with Jonathan. And he's doing great things in Miami, and he doesn't stop. So Hashem should give him the energy to continue what he's doing. And Bezalat Hashem, sooner than later, this room is going to be packed with people at the Shiul, Bezalat Hashem. Last week, Jonathan spoke about prayer, and he asked me to speak this week. By the way, as an introduction, my name is David Malamed. I act as the rabbi in the Breslov Center in Aventura. And he asked me to say a few words, so I decided to also speak about prayer this week. In this week's parasha, at least last week's parasha, this past Shabbat, we read about the plagues in Egypt, how there were dam, tzfardea, kinim. And if you notice, there was something very, very interesting during the plagues. And that is that after each plague, the reaction of Paro was a completely different reaction. The first plague, I can speak without the microphone. During the first plague, dam, blood, the whole Egypt is full of blood. Their waters are blood. The faucets they turn on, blood. They take a bath, blood. They want to go chill by the river, blood. Blood everywhere they turn. Paro doesn't seem to be bothered by it. The next makkah, frogs. The next plague is frogs. Immediately, Paro runs to Moses, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he starts telling him, get this out of here. I can't handle all these croaks. The next makkah, lice. Lice everywhere, disgusting, on your hair, on your body. Doesn't seem to bother Paro. Paro's not fazed. I love wild animals, lions, tigers, and bears. He's fazed. He comes running to Moshe. Tell him to leave. The next one is devil, pestilence. Doesn't seem to bother him. Animals are dying. Doesn't care. Shechin, the boils. Doesn't care. Albe, locusts. He does care. And then next week we're going to see how the hail. He does care. And then choshech, he doesn't care. And of course the death, the plague of death, he does care. The question is, why is it that some plagues, Paro was fazed by them? He ran to Moses and he asked him, send him away. But other plagues, it didn't seem to bother him at all. In order to understand the answer, I'd like to share with you a few personal stories that I had. March 25th, 2020, I get a phone call. I was in Israel at the time. My father, my parents were here. I get a phone call from my mother. And here in Miami, it was 8 in the morning. A video call on Skype. Skype was still used then, before Zoom was created. This was really at the border between Zoom and Skype. My mother calls me in the morning. She starts screaming, "Your dad's having a hard time breathing." So immediately they call 911. My mother didn't know about this hatsala. It took them 20 minutes to come. It was already the outbreak of Corona, for those that remember. And police come. 911 comes, the paramedics come. They were scared to touch him because maybe it was Corona. It wasn't. And I see my dad panting in the video. He can't breathe. Immediately, they take him out. They put him on a chair and they take him to the ambulance. My mom shuts off the phone. Now, during those 15 minutes, which seemed like eternity, I automatically opened my tehillim and I started storming Shemaim. I'm waiting. But I keep on praying. I'm going crazy. Unfortunately, we lost him that day. Next case. Year later, 2021. I'm in Israel. I have Corona. I can't breathe. Taken to the hospital. I'm lying in bed. And I'm like, hey, okay, maybe this is the beginning of the end. When a person's hopeless, and when it's just him and God, he turns to Hashem and he prays like he never prayed before. Paro says the Olah Chaim HaKadosh, one of the great rabbis, Rabbi Chaim ben Atal, and he lived in the early 1600s. He wrote a very famous commentary on the Chumash. He says as follows, the reason why Paro only ran to Moses in certain plagues and didn't care about the others is because the plagues that had to do with, and the plagues where he felt that his life was at stake, his life was in danger, he felt the need to go pray and speak to Moses because he had the fear of death. And of course, when death is imminent, you do whatever you can to save yourself from death. As they say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Person feels his life is on the line, he'll do whatever it takes to save himself. Blood, okay, so there's a little blood in the river, in the water, we'll be a little dehydrated. It's not the end of the world. We'll eat something, eat some watermelon, or eat some chicken, and hopefully the protein will give us some life. But frogs, these frogs were going into people's houses, and they were going into people's stomachs. They heard croaks from the inside, coming from the inside. They were saying, what's this symbiote taking over my body? Maybe I'll be like venom. Nobody wants that. Lice, okay, it's nasty, but it's not life-threatening. Wild animals, lions that were tearing people to shreds. Nile crocodiles, nobody wants. Nile crocodile is one of the greatest predators in the world. My life's at the line. And of course, the plague of the firstborn, where he saw his own son dying in his hands. Of course, he's going to run to Moshe. Because then he felt, I need you now. I need to pray now. I need to get this away from you now. But I think the Torah is coming to teach us a very important lesson. Human nature is to pray to God and to turn to God when it's not going well for us. But the Torah is trying to tell us, don't be like Pal'o. Why is it that only when things are not going well for us, we turn to Hashem? Why is it that on our day-to-day basis, we don't speak to Hashem? Of course, we pray 3 times a day. Some of us do 1 time, some of us do once a week, whatever we can. But even when we do it, it's lacking the fire, it's lacking the intimacy with God. It's lacking the desire, it's lacking the drive. And the Torah is telling us, don't be like Paro. When you have an opportunity to speak to God, any moment, it doesn't have to be only in the synagogue, it doesn't have to be in prayer. Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, he came up with this, he revolutionized this concept of hitbodedut, of being alone with yourself, just you and God. And speak to Him. Share with Him whatever you're going through. Whether it be good things, whether it be things that you're not sure about, nothing crazy. Thank Him, we're alive, we're living in beautiful Miami. It's only cold 2 days a year, not such a big deal. But we have so much to be grateful for. And even if you have nothing to be grateful for, so speak to God, say, God, I'm not grateful, I have nothing to be grateful for. Help me see good things, but speak to Him. Don't wait until death is in front of your eyes. Don't wait until something bad is coming. Because the moment we have a connection with God, whether by speaking to Him about anything, even if you're under your covers and you're bored, you're listening to some podcast that you're not interested in, or watching some YouTube videos and scrolling on Instagram, instead of that, go under your cover and speak to God and say, Hashem, this is what I'm going through now. I'm single, I want to get married. I want more money so I can get a better shidduch. I want a nicer house. I need a nicer car. I want my parents to love me. I want to love my parents. I want better food. Whatever it is, whatever it is. God, there's no rules when it comes to talking to God. God's listening to us in every situation. I remember my father told me when I was a young boy, he said that he wasn't religious when he was younger. He used to be a taxi driver in the city. And one day, it was a snowstorm, it was a blizzard. And my father wasn't religious, and his car wasn't working. It stopped working, and it was freezing cold in his car, and he didn't know what to do. He was on the side of the road, and he thought maybe he's going to freeze to death. He was freaking out. So immediately he remembered, when he was in the army, that there's something called Hashem. So he said, Be'ezrat Hashem, and he turned on the ignition, and the ignition all of a sudden started working. My father said, 5 minutes later, I forgot about God. And he was angry about that. He says, why? Why do we forget about God when things are going, where things are not going, or when things are going our way? We only remember Him when things are not going our way. And this is what the Torah is teaching us. Don't be like Pal'o. Pal'o was not a good person. He was a despot. He was a dictator. He was an evil king. And learn even from his ways of when he prayed and when he didn't pray, not to be like him. And Bezalat Hashem, by us learning Shalom Bitachon, thanks to Jonathan's beautiful work that he does here, Hashem, we should feel a closer connection to Hashem. We should all be able to get closer to Hashem. Have a phenomenal night. Thank you so much for listening.
I think the microphone wants to say something.
It's funny, you know. I don't know what's going on over here. Okay, there we go. Want to say something? Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming tonight. Thank you for the beautiful words by Rav David Melamed. This class should be for the success and growth of Ronit Orli Bat Nurit, her parents and her family, my parents and my family, everyone in this class and their families, Bezrat Hashem, for their Fuash Shlamav, Yosef ben Miriam, Oz ben Micha, Yosef bat Zulika, Ronen ben Rachel, Bosh ben Orli, Chaya bat Rachel, Yonatan ben Natalie, Bechaim ben Asher, Chana bat Sarah, Chana bat Dovra, Yaakov ben Alis, and all the Cholim in Am Yisrael, Lelu Nishma, Daniel Mordechai ben Regina, David ben Masuda, Shaul Aryeh ben Simcha, Ronen ben Rachel, Esther Titi Badrina, Reb Shmayahu ben Reb Avraham, Reinschneider, Ephraim Menachem, Mendel ben Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yablonovich, and all of the Metim in Am Yisrael. And the finding is Zivug of Yonatan, Shmuel ben Rachel, and everybody else in this room who is single. Okay. So to all the new faces, to all the newcomers, we are touching the brink of greatness with these classes. You may think, well, I just came to learn some Shara Bitachon tonight. I just came to listen to a speech. The answer is no, because after your busy long day at work and after going and doing what you have to do on a day-to-day basis, you're coming to listen to some Torah. And as a matter of fact, I learned that a person should schedule their day around Torah. Many times we'd say to ourselves, well, I should get a job. And after I get a job, I'll schedule my learning around the job. The answer is no, because if your job doesn't fit into your learning schedule, you should actually not pursue that career and find an ability to learn morning and night. Because one of the questions that Hashem asks us after 120 is, did you find a time to learn Torah morning and night? Interestingly enough, Rabbi Duvi ben Shushan from Brooklyn, to anybody who may know, he had a learning program with working men, very successful, rich men in the Syrian community. I think some Moroccans too. And the first year they started learning an hour a morning. Second year, 2 hours. Third year, 3 hours. 4 hours. And every single year, all of the working men testified that every single year they saw their income extrapolate, meaning that the more time they spent learning Torah and the less time they spent in the office, they were actually making more money. So really, we're going to delve into the Sefer, and it's very important to erase everything you know before now, because we're learning something from new. Of course, the world teaches us certain ideas and certain philosophies that we think is the guideline to success, but we're learning now that Emunah and Bitachon is going to get you to success. How? By just working on the inner conflicts, the inner battles, and everything that we have on the inside. Everything that is our soul is pushing out of us, we have to work on the inside. And the external effort has to be less. Less is more. It's not just something we say when we go on dates. It's something in life. When you do less, you're actually showing Hashem that you trust Him more. And Bezrat Hashem, through the learning of the Torah, we should come close to Hashem. I want to share a story before we get into the learning of the Sefer. I hope everyone has the book. I want to share a very important story that's going to bring out a very powerful point. In Bnei Brak, there was a rabbi, and his name is Rav Steinemann. And there was one of his Tamidim, he grew up, and unfortunately he went off the derech. He started to go to Tel Aviv, to go clubbing, hanging around the wrong people, and whatnot. One Friday night, he comes back to Bnei Brak, to his parents' house, and his father tells him, Yosef, there's a shiur tonight with Rav Steinemann around the block. You want to come to the shiur, the Onik Shabbos, whatever it is. And he says, okay, I'll come. He had plans to go to Tel Aviv, to go clubbing, to drive on Shabbat. He decided to cancel his plans and to go to the shiur of Steinemann. He comes back after the shiur and he says, you know what? I decided I want to start keeping Shabbat. And his father was amazed. His son was off the derech for so many years. Why did you decide that you all of a sudden want to start keeping Shabbat? And he said, I want to tell you a story when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, I was in the cheder. I was in like a preschool. And when I was in cheder, a piece of my schedule was to learn with Rav Steinemann. And one day he comes around the class and he comes to all the students and he asks them a question. He asked them a question in the Gemara, what they were learning, and every student that answered the question right, he would give them a candy. So he goes around the class giving candies to students, asking questions, candies, candies. Now he comes to Yosef. And he says, Yosef, he asked the question, Yosef doesn't know the answer. He asked the second question, Yosef doesn't know the answer. He asked the third question, and Yosef doesn't know the answer. After the class was over, all the students leave the classroom, and Rav Steinemann calls Yosef over to his desk. Nobody else was there after all the students left, and of course not to embarrass him. And he says, he pulls out three candies and gives it to him. And he was shocked. He's like, why are you giving me three candies? I got all the questions wrong. He said, no, you didn't get the questions wrong. I put you under pressure. I put you in a difficult situation three times and you tried to answer me. And for the effort, I'm giving you three candies. When Yosef went to Ersteinemann's shiur on that Friday night, Ersteinemann asked him to come over and asked him, Yosef, how are you doing? I didn't see you in so many years. You grew up, you became an adult and whatnot. Yosef says, yeah, Rebbe, you know, I stopped keeping Shabbat 4 or 5 years ago and I'm going in a different way. And Ersteinemann says, I want to ask you something. In the past 4 or 5 years that you weren't keeping Shabbat, how many times did you think about keeping Shabbat? Yosef thinks, he ponders, he says, maybe 4 or 5 times. He says, out of those 4 or 5 times, how long was it? How long were you thinking about keeping Shabbat? He says, maybe 10 minutes each time. Ersteinemann says, psh, 40 to 50 minutes in a couple of years, you're thinking about keeping Shabbat. Bemakom she'ba'ale tshuva omdim, ena tzadikim gemurim yocholim la'amod. Ersteinemann told him, you are in fact greater than everybody in this entire city of Bnei Brak. We think in the, you know, sometimes we're getting the wrong leadership in the religious world. People are telling us, well, you're not this, and you're not good enough, and you don't fit into this category. In order to get married, you have to do this. In order to make money, you have to do that. In order to be a happy person, you have to do this. But look at how the Gdolim think. It's such a, this story, if you really pay attention and analyze it, this could be a recipe for how you treat the world and how you look at the rest of your life. Because it's not about the outcome. A person can have a white shirt, a black hat with the whole 9 yards. Of course, I'm not putting anybody down, chas v'shalom. But someone with tattoos and piercings can be on their neshama could be on a much higher level. Their challenges in life could be much higher than the person wearing the person that was from birth. Because as a matter of fact, when you start from the ground and you go up, it's not like someone that had to fall down, build a foundation, then go up. But when that person builds the foundation, they have a very strong foundation to hold them up when they continue to grow. That person that never fell in their life and that's perfect from day one, they're going. But they don't have the same foundation as someone that's going through a challenge. That's why it's so important to stay in our own lane. We don't know what people are going through, growing through. We don't know what's going on with the people around us. We have to understand to learn from Ersteinemann, to learn from the Tzaddikim, to learn from our holy sages in the Torah, how they think. Not to learn from the average person, how a person thinks, and to be negative on yourself, and to be hard on yourself, and when you make a mistake, to fall. No. What I'm coming here to tell you tonight is that a person has to believe in him or herself. And it doesn't come from an egotistical perspective. If I didn't believe in myself, I would never get to where I am today. And of course, I'm not trying to speak about myself in any way. I deeply, genuinely love every single person in this room. And I mean that with my full heart. Beyond that, I love every single Jew in the world. I love every single person in the world. I have no hatred in my heart towards anybody. And any single time in my life, and I mean this with a full and complete heart, where someone has hurt me, sometimes it cuts deep. But I take my time and eventually I forgive them. And eventually I learn how to love them and to give them love even though they're giving me the complete opposite. And that's the recipe for life. A person has to believe in him or herself. And I'll tell you something more. You have to listen to your inner voice. How many times when I started to make content and do things that were different from what the world was thinking and saying, people told me negative things and this, I asked myself a very simple question. Jonathan, are you doing something good? Yes. Is Hashem proud of you? Yes. Are you helping people? Yes. If I made my whole social media page and all the hours of sweat and labor and going to work, coming back from shiur, 10 o'clock at night, going to meet a rabbi. One time I met Shmuel Younger in a steakhouse. And one time I met Yishai Ribo in some private house. And one time I met a rabbi after a shiur, waiting to get into the rabbi's, going through his whole henchmen and whatnot. So much effort I put in for one person to see one video and to feel a little bit of inspiration, to get one inch closer to Hashem, it was all worth it. Because those small efforts is what gets you to become that big person. I'll tell you, and I'll just continue, I'll expound upon this idea because it's so important to take home. Don't ever feel bad about yourself and what you did and who you are. The Torah says, Kedushim to you. That means that Hashem, wherever He placed you in the world and wherever He put you in your life, that's exactly where you have to be. Don't think, oh, well, I could do this and I could do that. Talk about dating for a second. You're going on a date, be exactly who you are. Because if you're going to be someone that you're not, then you're kind of selling a fake product. Be who you are, and if the person wants to be with you, Shalom al Yisrael, make the shidduch, make the wedding. If the person doesn't want to be with the person that you truly are and your actual self, then you're going to always live life as a shell of yourself. And that doesn't just start by on the actual date itself, it starts from before. It starts from being yourself. Because a girl can come and say, oh, I don't like the fact that this guy makes videos. So I'll say, okay, I don't care, I'm myself. But one person will. And the same thing for the men. We're not looking to date thousands of people and to be perfect for everybody. We're looking for one soulmate. It's the same thing in marriage, to always follow your heart. Don't take marriage advice from anybody besides your own heart. Of course, talk to a mentor, a rabbi if you have to, but you're looking to marry someone that's gonna become your best friend. Baruch Hashem, my grandparents in Israel, they're married for 60 years. And my grandfather always comes, and it's the cutest thing in the world. He goes, Ishti, Ishti Reach Na'ana. You know, I smell Nana. And she goes, Shkut, shut up, I know. And this is how their marriage looks like their entire life. They have their same, because yes, my grandparents have tons of grandkids and they have, Baruch Hashem, a big family. But after all of their hard work in raising their family, what's left? Just them. They sit in Or Yehuda, in the corner of the block. Don't go looking for them because you're not going to find them. And they're living their peaceful life and they're happy with each other and they're content. They start the morning with Boker Tov, I love you, and they end the night with Laila Tov, I'll see you in the morning. And that's the true recipe for happiness. Sometimes in the religious world, they put so many false ideas into our head. You have to do this, you have to do that, bunch of nonsense. I'm coming to tell you, my name is Jonathan Ben Shmuel, and I do not approve that message. We have to marry our best friend. If you're dating someone, you cannot be completely honest. I don't know why I turned into a dating class, but if you're going out with someone, you can't be completely honest with them. And by the way, I'm giving the merit of this etzah, what I'm saying right now, to my father, because we spoke the other day about this and I have to share it with you guys. So Abba, I love you. Listening? Yeah. So I'm giving the credit to my father. You have to marry someone that's going to be your best friend, because if you're going out with someone and you can't call them in the morning and say, you know, my back's hurting, I don't want to go to work today. Or my back's not hurting, I don't want to go to work today. Or I just don't feel like it, I feel miserable today. If you can't tell someone that you're dating or that you're thinking about marrying the raw, honest truth about what's going on, like, never second guess when you want to tell your spouse something. Tell them the raw, honest truth. And if they can't accept you as you are in your lowest low and your weakest moment, they're not for you. Because everyone goes through ups and downs of life. Life is a tidal wave. That's why you have Ani in the Aleph, right? It's like a slide. And obviously you have the Yud and the Yud and the Vav in the middle, Yud-Kei-Vav, 26. It's showing you that life is a slide. We go through ups and we go through downs. And the person that we marry, we have to be able to tell them our raw, honest truth. But how can we come into a relationship and be our raw, genuine, honest self when we have so many layers and shells and people's opinions in our heads? I learned in my life not to talk to anybody. Of course, I asked rabbis for halachot, and sometimes I'm mityaetz. I ask advice on certain difficult things that I really don't know what to do. And sometimes, you know, you talk to friends. It's always good to have good influences in your life. But when it comes to the real, real inner conflict, the avodat halev, as prayer is also known as, the only one to go to is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because Hashem made you, from the moment you were in your mother's womb, from before that when you were a little sperm cell, and afterwards He nurtured you in the womb, and you were born, and you were raised, and Hashem took care of you from day one. He made you exactly as you are. No one knows you better than Hashem. And the purpose of the difficulty is to actually open up our mouth and to speak to our Creator. And I want to just really give confidence to all of you to really believe in yourself and to believe in your inner voice and to not let anything negative throw you away from that. You know, personally, I have big dreams. I want to become a massive content creator. I want to go become a successful person in the community. I want to make a lot of money. I want to make my future wife the happiest in the entire world. And I have the confidence to say that to the entire crowd, because I don't care what anybody in this room has to think. I know that Hashem gave me this purpose. He made me the way I am. And that's why I speak, I do what I'm myself. I'm just myself on full display, unapologetically, because that's how a person has to be. And if you're not going to be yourself, the only person you're cheating is yourself. Because ultimately, I'll give the credit to Yafa Palti, a speaker in Miami. She told me this a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. She told me it's very powerful. You come into this world alone and you leave it alone. So even through everything, a person has to learn how to live with themselves, how to deal with themselves, and how to become the best version of themselves possible. Same thing in business. You have an idea, go for it. You have a personal milestone, go for it. I want everyone in this room to go for whatever they want to go for. Of course, no one's telling you to go do something irrational. Of course, if it makes sense, go for it. And sometimes it won't make sense. You have to be a little bit crazy to be successful. But more or less, if you have a vision, if you have something you really want to do in your life, whether it's to get married or to fix your marriage or to go become successful in business, to become gadol b'Torah, to just become a better person, just go for it. And that's really the problem in this generation. We have a distracted focus. Our focus is all over the place. You open up Instagram or TikTok, I got banned, didn't get banned, I don't know what's going on, Trump, no Trump. You open up social media and you have thousands and thousands of thoughts in the span of minutes coming into your mind, because the government doesn't want us to be, the government's trying to shut off the purpose. Nowadays, it's the boss babe, and the man has low testosterone, he's working in a factory, and he's depressed and miserable, and the woman has to go and support the family. This is the opposite. This is the opposite ideology of the Torah. The Torah wants the man to be a giver. That's why even in the design of the male body, a man is pushing outward and the woman is inward, because showing that a man has to be a giver and the woman is the receiver. That's why I'm going to tell you that 100% of issues in relationships is the man's fault. I approve this message. It's always the man's fault. Anytime that your girl is not smiling, it's your fault, buddy. Why is she not smiling? Because you made her not smile. You give her a smile, she'll give you one right back. Right, girls? The women approve this message. When a man takes responsibility for his role to be a man and to give for the purpose of giving, and doesn't start with the wife, it starts with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person comes to Hashem and comes to Hashem because they genuinely want a relationship with Him, to get up, to go to Shachrit, Mincha, Arvit, Tefillin, Tzitzit, Tehillim, maybe even Tikkun Chatzot, to get up and to cry for the Beit HaMikdash. Not because you want to receive something from God. Don't do mitzvah because you want to receive, because it's not genuine, it's not real. Don't come to your relationship and be all nice to your spouse because you want her to cook you a nice dinner or to say nice words to you or to carry you on her back. That's draining, dude. That's heavy. Come to your relationship for the purpose of giving. And To give, not to receive, because that's the recipe of love. How do you say love in Hebrew? Ahava. In the middle of the word ahava is hav. Aleph hey bet hey. Hav means to give. That's why when dogs bark, hav, you know, give me food. It's a little interesting zach. So the whole purpose of love is to give to the other person unconditionally without expecting anything in return. And when the man is focused in his element, when he's guarding his eyes, keeping Shmirat HaBrit, doing everything he has to do to get really close to Hashem, of course the woman's going to feel that energy. Because I learned this week that the Arizal writes that, let's say you could be in a relationship with a girl, and let's say you break up, God forbid, or things aren't going the way you want them to go in the relationship. The Arizal writes, by the way, this is crazy, because sometimes you could break up with someone or you could have a relationship that you really believe this is my soulmate, it's not working, and there's actually ways to fix it. Against all odds, Hashem could do anything. It's very interesting idea. Of course, it's not meant to put the focus on that person. It's meant to put the focus on Hashem. But sometimes we can do things, to God forbid, lose our soulmate. And how do we earn them back? By working on ourselves. Because if a man could be in Brooklyn, and the girl that just ended things with him could be in China. And if a man works on himself and genuinely devotes his life to God, to the service of God, and to glorifying God's name, and to giving gratitude to God, he will be sending the woman energy, and she'll feel it in China, and she'll feel a push in her stomach to reach out to you, or to get closer to Hashem, to get you guys on the same level, whatever it is. But it's very important to know that this specific thing, when we work on ourselves for the sake of giving to give, and for connecting to Hashem in a real genuine manner, that's going to teach us the role model for the rest of our lives. Because the emunah and bitachon that we're learning tonight, it's more than just having trust and faith in Hashem and saying, oh Hashem, it's all from you, with your heart not agreeing, not approving this message. It's to actually learn how to live with Hashem, to talk to Him, to bring Him into your life, to live with Him at every single moment in your day. And through a relationship with Hashem, you're going to learn how to do life. When you learn how to talk to Hashem, you're not going to talk Lashon Hara about people, because you have nothing to say to people. You're going to only want to say, Hashem, I want to only talk to you. When you learn how to get close to Hashem, to teach you how to get close to your wife. When you learn how to be honest with Hashem, to teach you how to be honest in business. When you learn how to be healthy with Hashem, to teach you how to be healthy with yourself. It's all measure for measure, it's a reflection. Because the whole purpose of the prayer is for us to come and to get closer to Hashem, because it's really for us. And we want to emulate Hashem's character traits, we want to emulate Hashem's ways, and we want to get closer to Him. Now, we're going to start the Shara Bitachon. Page 39. So, last week we were talking about the alchemist, and we're talking about the 10 different ways how someone who's a Baal Bitachon is more favorable in God's eyes and more powerful than the alchemist. Because the alchemist, again, is someone that is able to take raw material, tin, copper, junk, and able to turn it into gold. So you would think that someone who has this ability, where he could be anywhere at any point in time, he can convert junk material into gold, he would be better than the Baal Bitachon, because he has nothing to worry about. He could do whatever he pleases. And we're going to go through the next 5 steps, and Bizrat Hashem, I have a little surprise at the end. The 6th advantage over the alchemist, Vashishi. So, everybody with me, page 39? 6? Yeah? Okay. The sixth advantage of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist is Shebala Kimia Eno Batuach Mechayalim Vamedavim. That even though the alchemist has potential access to unlimited wealth, like we just said, from changing tin into gold, he is not secure against illness and disease. And by the way, we can take this example of the alchemist and we could apply it to any field in any business. So you could think that you know someone that's a massive stock genius and he's gonna save you. Or you can think that you know how crypto works and you're gonna be able to use it. Have bitachon in Hashem. He is not secure against illness and disease. He's also not certain that accidents won't happen to him. All of which will spoil his happiness with his wealth. Should it happen that he falls down and breaks his back or gets a palsy or another debilitating sickness, that will be a pity on him despite his wealth. These illnesses will not permit him to enjoy all the wealth that's available to him. By the way, read it with me silently, because when you're reading it, you're sowing it onto your soul. And he won't have pleasure in the stores of gold and silver that he has acquired and piled up someplace. But the one who trusts in Hashem, batuach, he feels secure. Min hamadavim v'acholaim, against diseases and illnesses. Despite all this, it is sometimes does happen that a man who trusts in Hashem suffers some kind of accident or illness. Hashgacha pratit, Rabbi Melamed was talking about COVID, and this is what we're talking about. Every single week we have Hashgacha pratit. It's amazing. Hashem approves this message. But when this occurs, it's for his own benefit in the form of an atonement, kapara, for some misdeed. That itself is a big benefit. Let's say you owe somebody $10,000 and he says, I'll forget about the whole $10,000 if you accept one slap from me. Then that slap is a privilege and you're certainly happy to get it. And so Hashem grants a kapara to a tzaddik, a mishap, whereby he atones for his sin. Therefore, it is not a contradiction to the bitachon of the tzaddik. On the contrary, it's a normal development for those who trust in Hashem. Sometimes people look around the world and they say, oh, how come this person, he's a rasha, right? I don't know who's a Rasha, I'm not Hashem, but sometimes a person can do misdeeds and misfortunes to people and they make a lot of money and they drive a nice car. That's because Hashem pays the people who make sins to their face. He gives them Olam Hazeh and he takes away Olam Haba. That's why when they come to Olam Haba, they're asking, well, where's all my schar? Hashem says, I gave it to you in this world. But a tzaddik, someone that accepts all the suffering with love and cleaning his soul, he ends up getting Olam Haba in this world and the next. So it's very important to not look at the world and to not get into your mind and thinking, well, why does this person have this and this person have that? We have to trust Hashem and to know that if life is hard for us, if it's difficult, if it's not easy, it's a very good indicator that Hashem loves you. It's not an indicator, it's actually a proof and a fact. And the fact that you're breathing right now and in this class is a guarantee that Hashem loves you and is proud of you and giving you hugs and kisses. Just open up your arms to accept them. Oh, aderech ha-temura. Alternately, the mishap may be in the form of an exchange. Turn the page. This is because sometimes a person must have certain experiences in life to mellow him. People who suffer in life are more humble people. And I'm going to add into this that the more crying that we do and the more that we suffer, it's actually mellowing us, like it says in the Sefer. It makes us softer people. It wipes out all the garbage from our soul and allows us to really feel our soul, which is the happiness that's inside of us. When Hashem causes the tzaddik to have a misfortune in order to improve his character, it should be considered a very great benefit, even if it's not because of a sin. If a man is able to straighten out some quirk in his nature by experiencing some mishap, he should be as grateful to Hashem as if he went through an operation for which he paid a large sum of money. Therefore, in general, the Baal Bitachon can trust in Hashem to keep him well and protect him against accidents. If something did happen, he knows it's for his benefit. Anything that happens to a Baal Bitachon, he's able to stop and say, Hashem, thank you. It's a very high level. And sometimes we have to fake it till we make it. We have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Actually, one day we're going to feel, wow, thank you Hashem, because I actually don't know what's going on right now, and I thank you for why you're doing this to me. Moshe Katuv, as it is written. By the way, there's not one person in this room or in the world doesn't suffer. It's just about how we react to it. That's the emunah and our feeling in our heart. That's the bitachon. And we're going to see, God willing, as the weeks go by, we're going to really, really start to really get it and to understand it and to come closer to Hashem, which I think everyone can approve that message. Even strong youth may become weary and worn out. And young men can stumble from weakness. We often find that young people people are overcome by certain sicknesses. Sometimes they stumble and need crutches or walkers. There are broken people even though they are young. If you notice in the actual design of the page, you have the psukim, which is the Shaar HaBitachon itself, which is quotes from all over the Torah, and you have the middle part. That's actually Rabbi Victor Miller's commentary, who is one of my favorite rabbis of all time, because he really taught the Jew how to love the mitzvah. V'amar, then in the next verse it says, V'koveh Hashem yachalifu koach. But those who hope to Hashem, they gain new and increased strength. Meaning sometimes in life when you feel like you have no strength left and you trust in Hashem, you sometimes get a burst of energy, you get a light from Shamayim because you're trying to do the right thing. And Hashem wants to help you, Hashem wants to pick you up, Hashem wants to put you on His crutches per se. V'amar, and it says, Ki zeruot reshaim teshavarna, for the strong arms of the evil ones will be broken. V'somech tzedikim Hashem, but Hashem supports its tzedikim always. Before we leave the subject, it's important to know that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the bad voice inside of our head pushing us towards the wrong things, is always lurking in ambush and asking questions like, what about this tzaddik? Don't you see him suffer? Or what about that tzaddik? Didn't he die young? We literally just spoke about this. We have to be aware of these challenges and be ready to respond. Perhaps the person involved was lacking the quality of bitachon. He may have only looked like a tzaddik, but did not work on his bitachon. Bitachon is something that you have to gain by labor, not by saying I'm a baal bitachon. You have to become a baal bitachon in your heart. And possibly that person never was. Also, it could be that what happened to him was a very great benefit for him. We just don't understand everything we see. Only when we come to the next world will all the mysteries be solved and will the truth be revealed, B'zrat Hashem. So we have to fight back against the Yetzer Hara that's constantly challenging us. Who said that bitachon is so good? Is it insurance and nothing will happen to you? Are you going to be safe all your life just because you have bitachon? The answer is yes. We should never weaken in our conviction that whatever Hashem does for those who trust in Him is always for their benefit. Again, the answer is yes. We should never weaken in our conviction that whatever Hashem does for those who trust in Him is always for their benefit. Everything that Hashem does for us is always for our benefit. Say that to yourself. Everything Hashem does for me is always for my benefit. We now return to the comparison between the Baal Bitachon and the alchemist who can make precious metals out of base metals. 7. The 7th advantage over the alchemist. The 7th advantage of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist is Shebala Kimia Efsha Sheloya Gyal Mizno Bimashi Shetzlomina Zahavia Kesef, that it's possible the alchemist will be unable to get some food despite having the ability to create gold and silver. Because there may be times when there is no food to be found in his city. Kemosha Neemar in Yecheskel, as it says, Kospam. They will throw their money into the streets when they're starving and can't buy any food with it. An amazing idea. And it says, Gam kospam, gam zeavam, lo yuchal la'atinam. Even their silver, even their gold will not be able to save them. So the mere fact that the alchemist has access to supplies of gold and silver does not assure him of always having enough to eat. V'abotach ba'ashem, lo yibatzim mimenu mizno b'chol et. In contrast, if a person trusts in Hashem, his food will not be withheld from him at any time. Uvchol makom, and in any place, ad sof yamav, until the end of his life, like we see from the man in Egypt. This means that when Hashem wishes, He can provide food despite a lack of opportunity to get food. Of course, if Hashem decrees a famine, that means He doesn't want to provide food. But when a person has bitachon in Hashem, that alone is the reason why Hashem will favor him and give him food, even when those who have money are not able to buy food. Kemosh ne'emar, as it says, Bera'av padecha mimavet. In famine, He redeemed you from death. Ve'amar, and it says, Hashem ro'i lo echsar. Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Ve'amar, and it says, lo yevushu ba'et ra'ab. They won't be shamed in a time of evil. Uveme ra'avon isba'u. And in a time of famine, they will be satiated. We have to inscribe these words onto our soul and to carry them with us in every single day, throughout the entire day. It's very, very important to carry this with you, the words of Tehillim and the words of the Shaar HaBitachon, and to carry it with you throughout your entire day. This is what's going to save you in life. When a person puts, this is the solution, this is the cure. Now it's just about the penetration, how much a person applies it. When a person puts his trust in some materialistic thing, then Hashem may cause him to be disappointed in order to show him that he made a mistake in trusting a false thing. But if a man trusts in Hashem, he considers that a reason to reward his trust, in order to let him know that the one who trust in Hashem is justified. This concept will be explored further in the later chapters of the Shaar. 8. The 8th advantage over the alchemist. V'ashmini. And the 8th advantage of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist is Shebala Kimia eneno mitakev b'shum makom, that the alchemist doesn't remain long in any place. He's afraid to have a permanent residence. Mirato shema yidgale sodo, because he's afraid lest his secret will be revealed. And you can see this in the business world, where sometimes a person can have a restaurant and have a certain recipe, and they're scared to let someone know that recipe. Or a person could find a certain successful tactic in their business, and they're scared to say the truth of how they did it. I'll tell you, for me, I teach people how to edit videos. I teach people everything I know about everything, because I know that there's no competition. If someone else wants to go and start doing what I do, to go into a pizza store and to say Hashem approves this message, then let them go do it. Lama lo? Why should your friend not make money? Why should your friend not use that matchmaker you use to get your zivug? Why should your friend not be able to apply the same tactics and preparations that you did in order to be successful? Why should success only be for you? True success is being able to share it with people and knowing that Hashem won't take it away from you, what's yours. In those days, there were people who claimed to be alchemists. Of course, they were bluffers. They claimed they could make gold out of tin and lead. When the government would hear about that, they would kill them, because it was against the government policy for anybody to be able to produce wealth from nothing. They wanted it to be done by the government, not by private people. Therefore, the alchemist was in constant danger of losing his life, and he would never reside long in one place. Anybody in this room ever hear of the Chafetz Chaim? Yeah, very famous rabbi. Many people don't know this, but how did the Chafetz Chaim become who he is today? Once upon a time, he had a store, and he was selling like groceries, you know, vegetables, goods, whatnot, fresh produce. And shortly after, he was having a lot of success. Competition opened down the block or across the street, whatever it was. And he started, and the person who opened across the street had a better store, better produce and whatnot. And the Chafetz Chaim, the person across the street came to the Chafetz Chaim and said, I'm not having business. So the Chafetz Chaim decided, I'm going to close my store for half the day. He closed his store for half the day, and people specifically came to the Chafetz Chaim's store and his wife in those hours, and no one came across the street. The guy came back and complained again. Chafetz Chaim said, I'm running to the store because I want to get back to the book. Chafetz Chaim said, I'm only going to open up my store for a quarter of a day. Open up his store for a quarter of a day. People flocked to his store for those 2.5 hours, whatever it was, sold out his store, was making more money. Guy came back complaining, it's not working. Chafetz Chaim said, I'm going to close my storefront. Him and his wife, they had the store together. And I'm going to open up the store in the back. Meaning, you're going to come to the back of the building, or whatever it was, the house, and that's where the produce will be. People flocked to the back, and no one went to the person across the street. Eventually, it got to the point where the Chafetz Chaim decided to close down his business, and explain to the person that it's not your store that's not working, it's the fact that you have no bitachon because you think I'm your competition. And that's how the Chafetz Chaim became who he is today. He authored Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he authored Sefer Shmirat HaLashon and whatnot, through bitachon. Ve'abotach be'elohim, in contrast, he who trusts in Hashem, be'vitcha be'atzo, can be secure in his own land, u'v'minuchat nafsho b'mkomo, and he can have peace of mind in his place of residence. He can go to sleep at night relaxed, not checking social media every second. Kemo shekatuv, and to sacred Shema Lamita, it is written, betach ba'Hashem ba'aseh tov, trust in Hashem and do good. Sheken eretz ureh emunah, dwell in your land and nourish yourself in loyalty to Hashem. Dwell in your land and nourish yourself in loyalty to Hashem. The same way the body needs food and drink, the soul needs food and drink. When a person's feeling sad, anxious, quote-unquote darkness, that means that they need to give the soul the food and drink that it needs. We don't just take care of the physical, we have to take care of the spiritual. Nourish yourself in loyalty to Hashem. Nourish yourself. Surround yourself in mitzvot, in positivity, in good people, in good advices and whatnot. Turn the page, V'amar, and it says, Tzadikim Yirshu Eretz. Aretz, Tzadikim inherit the land. Ve'yishkenu la'ad aleah, and dwell forever on it. These verses indicate that had they kept the Torah, they would have always remained in Eretz Yisrael. The ninth advantage over the alchemist, Vatishi. The ninth advantage of the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist is Shebala kimia lo telavenu harmiya shelo ba'acharito. That the alchemist's skill will not accompany him into the afterlife. All he will acquire is being secure from poverty and from needing the help of people. By the way, it's not saying not to go and to make money. Go be rich, but use your money wisely to buy yourself the next world. In contrast, the one who trusts in Hashem will be accompanied with the reward for his bitachon, both in this world and the next world. So bitachon is such an achievement that Hashem rewards it not only in this world, but he grants the reward in Olam HaBa forever. Amen. Kemo shekatuv, as it is written, Ve'abotach ba'Hashem, ches yisov aven. This is probably one of my favorite psukim of all time. As for the one who trusts in Hashem, he, capital H, Hashem, will surround him with kindness in the world to come, and in this world. Ve'amar, and it says, Marav tofcha ashet zafanta li'irecha. How abundant is your good that you have hidden away for those who fear you? This reference to a hidden reward in the secret place means Olam Haba. And by the way, don't expect that this is gonna, you're gonna start learning these teachings and start reciting the psukim and to have some type of an instant reaction that pitam you're gonna feel better. I'm not here to give you false hope. I'm here to tell you you have to put in the work. And Bezrat Hashem, through putting in the work and reading these teachings and living by them, eventually the spark will come. So that's the whole purpose of the difficulty in the beginning, is to get you to show, is to get you to start the relationship, to break the ice with God. You want to come to Hashem and to introduce yourself and to start learning these teachings and to apply them. And slowly, slowly, through time, it's a process. It says in Tehillim, Hazorim Bedim'ah, Be'inayik Tso, those who come and plant seeds with blood, hard work, sweat and tears, open the ground, put the seed, cover it up, come in the fall, winter, spring, fall, four times a year. After 7 long years, the tree grows, it sprouts. You take the apple, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Pri Haaretz. It takes a long time to taste the sweetness, but don't give up. Have belief in yourself. You fall down, you get right back up. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam, Yerida Letzorach Aliyah, Yoshev Beset Elyon, Nafshi La'afar Lakol Tiyeh. Don't give up on yourself. Know that you have to be humble, apply the teachings, learn them, and you're going to get somewhere. 10. The 10th advantage over the alchemist, Va'asiri, the 10th and the last comparison with the alchemist is that, Shebala Kimia Im Yevadai Inyanom. If you were to be known as an alchemist, Tiesi Bat Moto, that would be the cause for his death. Because what he's doing is the opposite of the way the world works. The world does things in the natural way. You have to try to make an honest living. This man is making wealth in the secret way, and therefore he is going to be destroyed as soon as he is discovered. And Hashem, the one who is in charge of everything in the world, will give power over him. Those who will kill him. If he doesn't know how to conceal his secret. If an alchemist is not very cautious, or a rich person, or someone who knows how to make money, knows, Hashem will cause his secret to leak out, and he will be executed because of that. By the way, the Ramban, Nachmanides, says that if anyone says that they know how to make money, they're a fool. It's a very strong lashon, it's a very strong language, teaching you that the ideas you have, the work you do, it's not from you, it's from Hashem. You're just going through the motions. V'apotech ba'Hashem, ka'ashay yevada bitchono. In contrast, when people know that an individual has trust in Hashem, they will have more admiration of him, they'll be proud of him, they'll love him. Yigdal be'ne ha'beriyot. He will become greater in the eyes of people, and in the eyes of the animals, by the way. V'chabedu b'nei Adam, and men will honor him. V'itbarachu b'krivato, they will feel blessed to be close to him. V'ra'iyato, and to see him. V'yeh gorem v'ayah gorem le'takanat yiro, and he will be considered a cause for his city's welfare, for his city's success. He attributed to it just through having bitachon, the inner conflict, like we said in the beginning. The people of the city will say that if such a man lives among them, the city will be blessed by Hashem and his merits. How many times do we go on a plane to Israel, we see we're surrounded by Jews, and we feel confident that nothing bad is going to happen to the plane, because we know there's so much good around us, so much positivity. Same thing with someone who has bitachon. When a person has bitachon, people around you feel safe around you, they feel secure, because the light of God, the Shekhinah, is on your face. And by the way, if the Shekhinah goes away from your face, it's not some type of a bad indication. Clean yourself up, clean up your soul, and the Shekhinah will come back. The Shekhinah wants to reside on the person's face. We just need to do the work in order to bring it there. And when it goes away, it can come right back. Just don't involve yourself in sin and negativity, and don't drown yourself in it. You fall down, you get right back up. They will say that his presence shields the people of his place from all kinds of mishaps that might occur. Kimo shekatuv, as it is written, V'tzadik yesod olam. The tzadik is the foundation of the world. Without tzadikim, without limud Torah, we would have no world. Uveinyan lot betzar. And this is as it happened when Lot found refuge in Tzoar. The city was saved from destruction because of Lot's presence, because of Lot being in the city where horrible things were happening. And people were going against God, waging wars against the creator of the universe, Chas v'Shalom. It's interesting to note that although Lot wasn't such a great tzaddik, he did have a certain zechut, a merit, which came to him because of Abraham. Thus, when he came to Tzoar, the destruction of Sodom and Amorah did not come upon Tzoar as it was originally meant to. And so, we see that when a tzaddik is in the place, he protects the place, even if he is not such a great tzaddik. Now, these are ideas for us to consider. And by the way, even thinking about Hashem, you're already bringing tremendous protection and tremendous Shekhinah on you. Just thinking about God, thinking about being better, saying you want to be better, speaking to Hashem, creating the vessel, it's so important to do. It's huge. It's making stadiums of Malachim and Shamayim chant your name, and Hashem is smiling ear to ear, kavyachol, so happy, so proud of you, from efforts that we think are so small. How a person with bitachon is actually a wealthy man, and trying to always, by the way, find the good in every situation, to always be happy, to be grateful to Hashem, and to be happy. True wealth is when he puts his trust in Hashem. True wealth is when he puts his trust in Hashem, not when he makes a lot of money. A wealthy person is someone that has confidence in Hashem and is happy with exactly what they have. He knows that Hashem is going to do for him what's right, and therefore this man will live in a certain way, that we'll soon see, a certain life that's different from the way other people live. That person, therefore, is considered a man who has wealth in his own home, as if he were an alchemist who manufactured gold and silver. Before we go on, it pays to sum up this matter once more. We're talking about people who live normally and are attempting to maintain themselves by some form of livelihood. They work and engage in business, but at the same time, they're working on the midah of having bitachon and Hashem, like everybody in this room. Of the two things that they are doing, working on their livelihood and on their bitachon, which one brings them the most profit? The work on bitachon. A man can have a store or be a laborer who gets wages, but he should know that his real wealth is not what he puts in the bank. It's beautiful because we started the class saying that the more Torah you learn, the more money you make, the less you have to work. It's what he puts into his mind. By the way, he said every single day, Yichas decha Adonai aleinu kasher chanulach, to the extent that you trust in Hashem, is to the extent that you're going to have to put an effort into the world. To the extent you trust in Hashem, is to the extent that He will send you your soulmate, He'll make money, making money easier for you, and His Shekhinah will dwell on your face. Don't put so much effort into the things that you have to do in the world. Put more effort into your learning Torah, into becoming a better person. And you guys should know, by the way, every single day there's a cheshbon in Shamayim, there's a certain calculation for how much suffering a person has to go through, for how much difficulty a person has to go through. And Hashem says, when we take upon ourselves burdens of Torah, burdens of tefillah, burdens of waking up early and going to pray nets and etc., and learning Torah, learning Torah is not an easy thing to do. You have to sit, especially Gemara, it's completely crunching your brain, it's undoing whatever you learned up until now. It's not a simple task. But when we take upon ourselves spiritual burdens, when we take upon ourselves spiritual tasks, measure for measure, let's say a person has to suffer 60% in that day, you take upon yourself 40% suffering in Torah, pitom you're going to go to the shop, to the office, and the day is just going to flow. Everything's going to be easier. As opposed to waking up late, putting on tefillin for 2 seconds, not saying that it's a bad thing, of course, if that's your level, then according to that level, but just to understand the idea, the more spiritual burden we take upon ourselves, the less burden we're going to have in materialistic things. Because Hashem calculates and He's fair and He works measure for measure. That's the divine rule of how God runs the world. Midah keneged midah. So the more that we take upon ourselves spiritual burdens, it's going to actually make us better people. Because remember, in life, you could either suffer being a loser and to drown and wallow in your pity and victim mindset, or you can suffer to be a winner. You can go, work hard, come home exhausted, repeat this process, and to become a happy person, and to truly win in life, to truly achieve something in life. Either way, it's going to be hard. It's hard to lose and to be a loser, and it's also hard to win. You just have to pick your path. You want to be great, you want to have the Shekhinah on your face, the crown of God on your head, you have to go into work for it. Or you can just escape your problem, run away from your true greatness, run away from your purpose in this world, and wallow in self-pity. This is not so easy when we consider that the Baal Bitachon is working on his livelihood. He's exerting himself for his sustenance, and at the same time, this man is laboring to put into his mind all the principles of trust in Hashem that we're going to learn later. The author of Chavot Levavot is telling us that of the two forms of effort, the effort to put Bitachon in your mind is the one that's really going to give you the final success in your life. Not only in the world to come, but in this world too. Does anybody have any questions?
Are you studying to be a rabbi?
No. Any questions, guys? I want to open up to some questions if anyone has anything. Or should we continue? Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that
so you hope it's not being recorded?
I'd like to ask every rabbi in the world, I obviously don't have the answer to that, but it's a question that I think bears emphasis. What was the purpose and incentive for Hashem to create the world, and obviously until Mashiach comes? I'm trying to figure out, obviously Hashem knew everything that was going to happen, but there has to be a purpose in that, and everything that's going to be done.
Uh-huh.
But from day one until whatever time it takes until Mashiach comes, what was the purpose of carrying out, the Holocaust,
wow,
the virus, the October 7th? I'm about to get canceled. I don't know the answer to that. That's why I'm asking. I'm just wondering what
So I'm not gonna be unfair and not answer that question because it's a very, very controversial, emotional question. But I'll tell you my opinions about it and what I've learned from Dolim. Of course, I don't want to get canceled, but everything that happens in life is a reality of reality is an expression of God's will. So obviously, if these horrible events happened, Hashem willed it to happen. And it's actually so funny you say this, because on Shabbat I was reading one of Rav Avigdor Miller's Sfarim, and the specific page that I was up to was talking about the Holocaust. And I'm going to quote in his words what I read. He said that Hitler, Yimach Shemo, and the Nazis, they carried out this horrible regime. They really put Jews, you know, someone was telling me they went to Auschwitz recently. It's like 20,000 square feet, 20,000, some enormous amount of land, where they used this land to put, to stuff Jews into these little cramped spaces and to make them suffer and etc. It was one of the most horrible events in history. And a person can ask, how is it possible that Hashem will allow such a thing to happen? And Rav Avigdor Miller writes in the Sefer that to the same extent that the Nazis put Jews through, you know, I don't want to say the word, but very tremendous suffering on earth, to that same extent, Hashem is going to put those Nazis and Hitler Yimach Shemo through unimaginable suffering in the next world. And it's not to Chas V'Shalom say that, oh well, this happened in order for that to happen. We don't know why it happened, but as horrible as it looked, it's to show you that it's not even a percent of what they're going to get in the next world. That's one thing. And the second thing is that we don't know why things happen in the world. We don't know why October 7th happened. We don't know why the Holocaust happened. We don't know the purpose of these horrible events. But one thing for sure is that Hashem is real. Hashem exists. And while we don't know why it happened, we have to trust Him. And the only response we can have to these horrible events is to work on ourselves and to be better. Interestingly enough, October 7th happened the day after Hoshana Rabbah. The last day of the decree. You have Rosh Hashanah, you have Kippur, and you have Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, the final decree. So the message that I heard from a rabbi was that Hashem is showing that right after the final decree, a horrible event happens, showing you that there has to be a time where Hashem wants us to wake up. And of course, so many positive things happen from these events. So much Jewish pride and unity and gatherings of closeness to our Creator happen from these things. And the idea is not to react to the horrible events and to say, oh, look at what happened, God wasn't there, etc. Hashem was in the Holocaust, Hashem was there on October 7th, as hard as it was. And the whole purpose of all these events is to get us closer to Hashem. That's my honest and simple and genuine answer for you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you had a question? For example,
like a close relative or friend dying, how does that supposed to benefit you?
It's not to say that difficult things in our life is supposed to benefit us, but the purpose of difficulties in our life, especially in things like that, like I was saying last week when I lost my grandfather, it wasn't the fact that I lost my grandfather, it was the fact that I had one. These difficulties in our life that happened to us is meant for us to come closer to Hashem. And if that means for us to get stronger, to learn from the event, and to be there for our friend, and to pray for him. You know, one thing that I did after my grandfather passed away, it's actually a crazy story, I didn't mention it last week. Every year in Queens, they have this event called Hineni. And the year that my grandfather passed away, they invited me to come to this event. And I decided before the event that I want to get 100 gemarot, and I want to, and 100 prayers of tzitzit, and I want to donate it to the community of Queens, the nishma my grandfather. If he didn't pass away, this wouldn't have happened. And right before the event happened, I decided to double up the donation, and I did 200 gemara, 200 tzitzit. That's when I made a relationship with a lady who donated around $150,000 to my cause, which then led me to open up a nonprofit and get a 501(c) approved in 2 weeks, which is record shattering, unheard of. Hashem is the IRS. And no one wants to get audited, right? Spiritual audit's worse. And what happened at this event, my grandfather's name is Daniel Mordechai Ben Regina, and the place where I got the Sfarim from, my mom was at the event and she started to get emotional. She called me to come look at the box, and I saw that the box said the address was 313 Regina Avenue, and right away I was shocked. I was like, wow, that's. I was like shaking. I was like, oh my God, that's my grandfather's mom's name on the box of the Gemarot that I decided to do. So the simple answer is that we're not going to know the answer why. But part of having bitachon is knowing that Hashem does things for you without knowing the reason why. And sometimes we can go through our entire life without ever knowing the reason why. And sometimes it sucks and it's hard and we don't understand it. And I'm encouraging you to cry. I'm encouraging you to hold space for your feelings. I'm encouraging you to be there for your friend. I'm encouraging you to do the right thing. And we don't know why these things had to happen. But if God willed it to happen, we have to trust that it's for the best. We don't know why it's the best. We can't go and change things. But one thing I can tell you is that your friend that lost someone in their life, that person is going to come back to life very soon. Amen. And we just have to have hope that things are going to get better. Because the whole purpose of prayer, the whole purpose of bitachon, and the whole purpose of being a Jew is having hope. Because Avraham, the first Jew, he was called Avraham HaIvri. So when the whole world was prostrating and serving idols, Avraham, he did the opposite. He did the Ivri. He went against the whole entire world. He took Sarah. He went. The whole world was doing the wrong things. And Abraham did the opposite. So when people are telling you, come with me here, do this, think about this like that, you just say, no, I want to do the opposite. I want to be close to Hashem. And for me and for myself and for my relationship with Him, that's wherever you go, to always know that Hashem's Shekhinah is shining on your face. And wherever we go, we have a responsibility to glorify God's name, to shine His light, because we're Jews. And being a Jew, you're representing Hashem, you're representing His army. Hashem wants you to be happy. Hashem wants you to trust Him. And the only one we're really fooling sometimes is ourselves, because deep down we all know the truth. Deep down we all know that everything really does happen for the best. And as hard as it is to accept, take your time to accept it, take years to accept it, but just work on it. Work on trying to see the best in things. B'zrat Hashem, I don't know if I can give a blessing, but I really will pray for you, my brother, and I hope you find consolement and comfort in this loss. Any other questions, or should we wrap up? Okay, so, last chance? Okay. B'zrat Hashem, may God help us all, that we should be able to come close to Hashem, to love Hashem, and to be happy. As the verse says, "Besimchat etzeu," through happiness, we will exit. Remember that tears, they open up the gates. The happiness completely shatters them and breaks them loose. And Bezrat Hashem, through the teachings of the Shara Bitachon, through coming once a week on Monday night, through posting the flyer on your status and your story, through spreading the WhatsApp group, and through becoming a partner in the mitzvah with what we're doing, and through learning these teachings and growing in them and coming every single week and becoming a loving person, becoming a happy person, talking to Hashem, getting close to Him, we shall all be zoche to merit everything we're searching for Hashem to fulfill all of the deep wishes of our heart, and Bezrat Hashem to live happy, fulfilling, meaningful lives filled with gratitude, filled with happiness, filled with love. And that's really all I can say. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimol, and Hashem, I hope you approve this message.